I disagree. Okay, thank you very much to everyone for joining us again to learn some Torah. I want to begin with a maisa that I heard years ago from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, a story about the holy Chose of Lublin. The Chose of Lublin had a Talmud, the great seer of Lublin, one of the great tzaddikim of Chassidus. He had a student who once came to him, a bacher, a yeshiva bacher, and he was a very ambitious bacher who had great aspirations, as human beings should have. And he said to his Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, you know, I've been devising this unbelievable learning schedule. Really? Let's see, what do you have in mind? So he shows his Rebbe, he's got this whole notepad of like his daily schedule. Everything is worked out, mamish down to, not just to the hour, but to the minute, and to the, literally to like the second. He's going to learn X number of blot of Gemara a day, and X number of Prakam and Mishnayis, and he's going to learn Tanakh, and he's going to learn Halacha, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. And he shows his Rebbe he shows the Chose of Lublin, the Holy Seer of Lublin. He shows the Chose of Lublin, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, this amazing schedule. And the Rebbe looks at it. He's impressed. He's very, very impressed. And he takes like a pen out of his pocket or whatever the equivalent would have been in his world. He takes a writing utensil in his hand, and he jots down on the side next to each of these lines of his daily schedule. Today I'm going to learn 10 prakim of Mishnayis, and the Rebbe writes next to it, ulefamim lahefich, and sometimes the opposite. And then he's going to learn this amount of Gemara a day. Unamal fakert, sometimes the opposite. Lefam lahefich, sometimes the opposite. And mamish, each line of this unbelievable schedule, this precise schedule of learning and avodas Hashem, he writes down alongside each one, ulefam lahefech, unamal fakert, it's just the opposite. And he says to his Rebbe, Rebbe, I don't understand, you don't like my schedule? He says, tzaddikal, I love your schedule, it's a beautiful schedule, it's amazing. Halavai, people should be so diligent with their time and so inspired. He says, but you have to understand that avodas Hashem sometimes asks us to do something different. So it's wonderful that you want to stick to this very precise schedule and you have it worked out exactly when you're going to finish Shas, when you're going to finish Tanakh, when you're going to finish Dalit Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. It's gevaldik, it's beautiful. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends an almana or a yasum your way, or an old lady who needs help shopping her bags across the street, or sometimes you just, you know, you don't feel good, you have a headache, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a virus that takes over the whole world. And you have to be able to adjust to that situation. I think we all feel that with each passing day, as much as we understand more, and you know, people again keep using the phrase the new normal, as much as we understand and we try to embrace a little bit what's happening this Pesach and prepare ourselves to make sense of it, on a certain level we understand more, on a certain level we understand less. But it's always so important for us to realize that, like the Chose of Lublin told that Talmid, we should have our goals, we should have our Seder. But we have to understand that there's a Seder above the Seder. There's a Seder lamala from the Seder that we like to imagine. And that's be'emes a Seder. We have to realize in a deep and real way, that's a real Seder. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu Seder. How can we not recall the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Nun? The Gemara says, Ki hodra of Yosef b'reid Rav Yeshua ben Levi chalash. The Gemara tells the story of Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. He became sick, he fainted. Or perhaps he had what appeared to be end-of-life experience. Ki hadar, and somehow he was revived, he came back. Whether he fainted, or they thought he was dead, or he actually died, and somehow they brought him back, whatever it was exactly. Amr le'avua mai chazis. So they asked him, they said, Nu, what did you see? You caught a glimpse of the other side. What did you see in the Olam Emes? Amr le, he said, "I, it's not what I expected. It's a strange upside-down world up there. Amr le olam hafachar isi. Everything's backwards there. Elyonim lamata, those who are on top are on bottom. Tachtonim lamala, everything is backwards. Amr lo, he said, my son, olam barur ra'isa. You didn't see an upside down world. You saw a world that was barur, that was very precise. That actually makes a lot of sense. Who's the one who's out of order? Is Hashem out of order? Is Hashem's world out of order? Or maybe it's just incumbent upon us to adjust to the order. And I think we have to remember that as we prepare for this amazing Seder in just a couple of days. We have to remember that we have a Seder. We have a vision of how things should be, how things ought to be. The Seder HaRagil that we live our lives by. But we have to remember that there's a lot we don't understand. And when I come to that world of truth, do I look at it and say, olam hafuch, a backwards and crazy world? Or do I say, you know what, this is an olam ha'emes. This is the olam borer. This is exactly the way Hashem wants it to be. I mentioned the other day that the Majid Zarebi says that the four galios, the four exiles of Jewish history, correspond to the four sons at the Seder. And that means that our galus, galus Edom, is the galus of the She'eno Yodei Alishol. We don't even know what to ask. We don't really know what's going on. And while that can be very, again, frustrating and disorienting, there's something very, very holy about that. There's something about relinquishing control. In fact, let's ask ourselves a question. I don't know if people had a chance, or who you had a chance to hear, Shabbos HaGadol, different shiurim going around. If you have a chance, I'll give you a nice Mari Makom, Rabbi Larry Rothwack's Shlita. Check it out. It's Kedai. It's on YouTube. It's available. I'm sure it's on YU Torah also. He spent over an hour giving very strong and very thoughtful nuance and Musar, as he always does, saying we have to challenge our assumptions. That's what's happening now. All of our assumptions are being challenged now. So why do we learn Torah? So we think we learn Torah to understand. We want to have greater clarity. But if you look in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, and again, it's hard to pinpoint the earliest source for this statement of our sages, but the Sfarim HaKadoshim, you look in Sefer Chassidus, you look in the writings of Rabbi Nachman, you look in the Sfas Emes, he brings it all the time, that the Tachlis HaYediyah is Asher Lo Neda. The purpose of our learning is to realize how little we know. And therefore, as much as the Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking away our clarity, in a certain sense, isn't that the goal? Isn't the goal to be able to say, Hashem, I want the Seder to be not my understanding of how, who's on top and who's on bottom and how things should be stacked and organized, but lefam lehefech, sometimes it's the opposite. Pumfaker, sometimes it's just the opposite. And while we like that stability of that traditional Seder, the order that, again, we expect life to operate by, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says sometimes you have to adjust to a different Seder. That the tachlis of a yediyah, the purpose of all knowledge, is to reach what is shalo neda, is to recognize that I don't really understand. And when I can say that and really mean it with humility, then I've become a matzah. Then I've become like that simple, authentic, and humble matzah. But of course, as we prepare for Seder, we like Seder. So I want to try to give a little Seder. Again, I don't know if I'll have a chance to learn again before Pesach. So I guess this is my Seder for Seder. I want to try to give a little Seder to our life, because we like that stability. We like the traditional type of Seder that gives us comfort. So let's talk about a few predictions. And maybe I'll even up the ante. You know, there's a lot of emails and texts and things going around with predictions, what's going to be this Pesach. These rabbis are promising like this, and these rabbis are promising like that. Predictions are a very, very dangerous thing. Chazal, the Rambam, they write explicitly the danger of predicting things regarding Mashiach. It's an extremely dangerous thing, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks very strongly against it. The Rambam paskins that way, even though the Rambam himself predicted in some of his writings the arrival of Mashiach. But it's a very scary thing, because when you predict Mashiach and it doesn't come true, then God forbid people lose their faith. The year 1860 was a big year. There was a lot of messianic fervor based on a passage in the Zohar. Many, many tzaddikim were saying in 1860, Mashiach is coming, Mashiach is coming. There was one tzaddik who got up loud and clear and announced to the world very clearly on Sukkot of the year 1860, Mashiach is vaday not coming this year. And that was Reb Lezer Jikover. Reb Eliezer of Jikov, the third son of the Rupshitzer, of Naftali of Rupshitz, he got up and he said, B'pemole 1860, vaday not Mashiach. And he explained that the reason he said that, he later explained, not that much later, as you'll see why in a moment, he later explained that he was so nervous that since everyone was saying, all the tzaddikim were saying the Mashiach's coming in 1860, he said, what are Klal Yisrael going to rely upon if Mashiach doesn't come? So he said, halavai Mashiach should come, and everyone will say that Lezer Jikover is not a real tzaddik. Okay, so they'll say I'm not a real tzaddik. He was willing to put his neck on the line. He said, but this way, at least if Mashiach doesn't come, and people say, but every tzaddik said Mashiach is definitely coming. So they'll say, no, there was one tzaddik who didn't say Mashiach. Reb Lezer Jikover didn't say Mashiach was coming. So he dafka took the abba. He believed in 1860 also. He learned the Zohar the same way. But he was too scared that everyone was going to go all in, and therefore if 1860 came and passed and there was no Mashiach, then he was scared that Klal Yisrael would lose their Amunah. The Jikover, interestingly enough, or tragically enough, passed away Gimel Mar Cheshvan, shortly after Sukkot that year. but he was able to do something courageous. Predictions, guarantees. But this is our last Pesach share, so I'm making guarantees tonight. Money back guarantees. I'll fully refund anyone who wants a refund, but I'm making guarantees. Ready for this? Here are my guarantees this year for Pesach. Will Mashiach come this year on Pesach? I don't know. I would never have the audacity to say one way or another. I really hope so. I could tell you, we mentioned a few times the Shabbos that Rav Schwab spent with the Chofetz Chaim in 1930, Vayakel Pekudei. And one of the conversations that Shabbos, when they spoke about Mashiach, the Chofetz Chaim told Rav Schwab that when the Gemara says that in Nisan Asidin Ligael, you have to understand, B'chol Yom Echakalo Shiyavo, every day part of Ani Mamin is we believe Mashiach could come any day. That's true in Tishrei, that's true in Cheshvan, that's true in Tammuz and Av, it's true in every month of the calendar year. But the Chofetz Chaim said in the month of Nisan, a Jew has to walk around and believe in Mashiach's imminent arrival. It has to be a Sufik Shakul, 50-50. In other words, if most of the time you'll say, Ani Ma'amin, that any moment Mashiach could come, but I feel it about 10%, 10% yes, or maybe 1% yes, 99% no. When the month of Nisan arrives, a Jew mamish has to be prepared for Mashiach. Mamish every moment, 50-50, any second it could come. It's not far-fetched anymore. That's what the Chofetz Chaim told Rav Schwab in the year 1930. So we need to try to be ready. Is Mashiach definitely coming this Pesach? Halavai, yes, I don't know. But here's a guarantee. I want to give a guarantee. I'll have the audacity to offer a guarantee. When Rav Gadol Eisner, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the great Mashkiach, one of the great Mashkichim of the world of Ger, the Ger Hasidim, when he found himself in Buchenwald, and he suffered terribly, he survived the war, he became Mashkiach in the Ger Yeshiva in Tel Aviv after the war. Rav Gadol Eisner was walking one day in Buchenwald along a barbed wire fence, lost in his thoughts, wandering around. I guess he had a little time, he was allowed to roam a little bit. And he runs into another inmate in the camp, and he recognizes this young man. It was one of his Talmidim. Mamish, skin and bones. He could hardly recognize the fellow. And his Talmud looks at him, he says, "Nu Rebbe, now what? What do you say now? What's going to be? What do you say, Rebbe? You always have such clarity on life's issues. What do you say now? What can I hold on to? That if, and it was a strong if, and if I survive, how will I be able to believe when this is all over?" And Rav Gadol Eisner reached into his inmate uniform, and he pulled out some ripped up shreds of paper. And he said, Sadako, come. Let's learn a little Chovas Halavavos together. He had, I don't know how he had it, somehow he had, tucked into his pajamas, into those thin pajamas that the Nazis Yamach Shema made Choshev Yidden like Rav Gadol Eisner wear and all the Jews during the war in the concentration camps. Somehow he had smuggled in these ripped up shreds, a little piece of the Shar Ahavas Hashem of the Chovas Halavavos. Shar Ahavas Hashem Perek Aleph. The very end of Perek Aleph. And this is what they learned together that day, that freezing cold day, out against the barbed wire fence in Buchenwald. Here's what he told them. Kemo shenemar echad men achasidim, with regard to Ava and Bitacha, with regard to love of Hashem and trust in Hashem, as it said about one of the chasidim, shayakom balayla va'amar. This is Chovas Halavavos. Okay, this is not a sefer that was written last week. This is a basic text of Yiddishkeit. The Chovas Halavavos says about one of the chasidim, about one of the pious individuals, that he would get up in the middle of the night, va'amar elokai. My God, hir avtani, you have starved me. Ve'erum azavtani, and you have left me bare. And bare could, by the way, be bare of shul, bare of yeshiva, bare of school, bare of parnasa, bare of all the things that I thought I had in my life. And now I'm naked and bare. Uvamachashake halayla hoshavtani, and you've left me in the darkness of night, which could be the darkness of galus. And yet, uva uzcha v'gadlecha nishbati, I swear by your strength and your great name, im tisrafeni va'esh, if you burn me in fire, to say such a thing in Buchenwald, if you'll throw me, this chassid used to get up every night, I'm starving, I'm cold, I have nothing, it's dark, but I swear by your great name, a guarantee, if you burn me in fire, lo osif kim ava uzcha v'simcha v'cha, I'll continue to love you, and I'll continue to rejoice over you. Doma lamasha amar, like it says in Iov, hein yikteleni lo ayachel, that even if you were to kill me, Rabbanu Shalom, even if you were to destroy me, even if you destroy your whole beautiful world, I'll still continue to believe in you. Chevra, which of us will be able to say after this is all said and done. Hashem, I love you more than ever before. I believe in you more than ever before. I don't know. I can't guarantee about any individual. But I can guarantee, I think we can all guarantee, that the soul of the Jewish people is going to survive. That whatever happens this Pesach, whatever happens throughout this crazy illness that's taking the world by storm, there are some guarantees. Not just predictions, but there are some guarantees. The guarantee that the Jewish people, there will be Jews in the world like this Chassid, who's able to say, Afal Pichin, no matter what happens, Ribbono Shalom, I still believe in you. Because Hashem, you're eternal, and your Torah is eternal, and the Jewish people are eternal. The Zohar says in Achrei Mos, Gimel, Dargan, Inan, Miskashrin, Da, Beda. There are three things which are really one. A Chut HaMashulash, a three-ply cord that can never be severed. And they are Kutcher Brichu, the Ribbono Shalom himself, Oraisa, the Torah, V'Yisrael, and the Jewish people. It's three which are Be'etzem one. It's three which are one. That they're tied together in a way that's indestructible. So just like Hashem can't be destroyed and the Torah can't be destroyed, Klal Yisrael will survive. The Jewish people will survive. As individuals, we need Rachmei Shemayim. But as a tzibur, there's a guarantee. That if Mashiach doesn't come on Pesach, it's guaranteed to come. That much we have. That much we can bank on. The Blujava Rebbe, another tzaddik who suffered terribly during the Holocaust. The stories of the Blujava Rebbe, they're well documented. Many, many stories. Unbelievable stories of Amuna. The Nazis murdered his wife, his only daughter, and his entire mishpacha. Hundreds of chassidim. I mean, he was left with nothing. After the war, listen to this unbelievable story. After the war, he was thinking about remarrying. He was looking for someone to remarry. He was liberated from Bergen-Belsen. And he married this woman. He married this widow and her four children. He took them into his home and he built a bias with her. And they said to her, how did you know, how did you pick this woman to marry after the war? And here's the story that he told. Her name, the Chasheva Rebbetzin, the second Rebbetzin of the Blizhar Rebbe, her name was Bronya. An amazing woman. He said, I'll tell you how I knew that she was the one. He said, when we were in Bergen-Belsen, so it was right before Pesach, and we were trying to figure out what's going to be with matzahs. So we had the audacity, we decided we're going to ask the officials of the camp if we can bake matzahs. Now just think for a second how insane that is. They decided we're going to ask permission to bake matzahs. Why not ask? Sometimes the Nazis had fun granting crazy requests to the Jews. And the Nazis said, sure, anyone who wants to bake matzahs, no problem, you just have to sign your name on this list. So most people thought it was a death sentence. Anyone who puts their name on the list is guaranteed to be taken out to be killed. But a couple of Jews had the courage. The Rebbe said, we have nothing to lose. They're going to kill us anyways. Let's try. Maybe the Mishugana Nazis will let us bake matzahs. So the Rebbe and four other men put their name down on the list. And the letter was going to be, they were going to send it to Berlin to get Rishus to bake matzahs. It came right before Pesach. And they said, anyone whose name is on this list is being, you know, called out. So the Blizhar Rebbe and these four other men were called out. And these other men, at first they said, we don't want to go. We don't want to go. They're going to kill us. He said, no. Come, you have, it's too late, you have to come at this point. And they came out and they said, okay, you have permission to bake matzahs. They got rishus to bake matzahs, it's crazy. So they baked a little bit of matzah. So then the question was, a couple of matzahs, tens of thousands of Jews in Bergen-Belsen, who's going to get the matzah? So you'll say, what do you mean? The Rebbe and the four people who baked the matzah are going to get the matzah. This one woman shows up. Somehow this woman who's still protecting her four kids still in the camps, this woman, Bronya, she shows up and she says, Rebbe, I want the matzah. I want the matzah, a little bit of matzah, at least, for my four children. So they say to her, they say, lady, listen, I mean, there's 10,000 people here. We have a tiny bit of matzah. Al pi halacha, your children are not even chayiv in matzah. Right? So there's no way we're giving a little crumb of, even a crumb of the matzah, there's no way we're giving away matzah to you and your children. She says, I'd like to make a case for myself. Okay, we're listening. My children are the future of the Jewish people. My children are the next generation. The whole Indian of Pesach is being able to transmit the Mesorah to the next generation. And she says, there's going to be a next generation. I don't know who's going to survive here in Bergen-Belsen. But there's going to be Jewish children. There's going to be a next generation. And when the Rebbe said he heard that, he said there was no one in Bergen-Belsen who was thinking beyond the next second. And this woman had eyes towards the future to say that there's going to be a next generation. Who's thinking like that? And they decided right then and there, okay, lady, you and your children are getting a little bit of the matzah. In the end, she survived Bergen-Belsen. Her four children survived the war. And the Rebbe ended up marrying her. The Blujava Rebbe married this woman, Bronya, and raised her four children as his own. They were not blessed with their own children together after the war, but he raised their four children. He lived until 99. She lived until 94. And the children went on to become the next Blujava Rebbes. Right? Because this woman had the eyes, amidst all of the uncertainty, to say there are a few guarantees. There's a guarantee that Jewish children will survive. There's a guarantee that, yes, that the essence of the Jewish people will not be destroyed. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't have the answer. No one has the answer to those questions. We look foolish when we try to answer those questions. But I want to read you a passage from a book by Harold Kushner. I don't even know where I got this book. When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Harold Kushner. He's not an Orthodox rabbi, but he wrote a very powerful book called When Bad Things... In the preface, page 9, Roman numeral 9, he says the following. Harold Kushner's guarantee for those who want guarantees this Yontif. A guarantee that we're going to see miracles through Pesach and through coronavirus. Who can guarantee miracles? Here's your guarantee, friends. People who have read this book are constantly asking me if I believe in miracles. Of course I do. But sometimes we have to look hard to find the miracle because it doesn't always take the form we expected it to take. I guarantee miracles this Pesach. I guarantee miracles from coronavirus. But what are miracles? Maybe we need to think about what miracles are. When the parents of a desperately ill child pray for a miraculous recovery, when the uncles and aunts and grandparents and members of their church or synagogue join in the prayers, but the child dies, are we to conclude that there was no miracle? Were our prayers mocked? Or perhaps there was a miracle after all. The miracle was not that the child survived. Some illnesses are incurable. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. Hayipoleh me'Hashem davar. But he says the miracle, perhaps the miracle was that the parents' marriage survived, despite the strain that the death of a child puts on a marriage. The miracle may have been that the community's faith survives, even after they learn that this is a world where innocent people get sick and die. When we see weak people become strong, timid people become brave, and selfish people become generous, we know we are witnessing a miracle at work. I have seen miracles like that happen. Some of them have happened to me, and I suspect that we all have. My friends, we're experiencing miracles. They may not always be the miracles we want, and it may not be the geula that we're all hoping for this Yontif. Right? But there's no question there will be elements of geula. And there's no question there will be emunah. And there's no question the Jewish people will survive. And there's no question that there will be miracles, even if there are different types of miracles. Again, on a personal level, we all have to daven. 4/5 of Klal Yisrael didn't make it out of Mitzrayim, whatever that means. And according to other Midrashim, the numbers are even higher. But there was no doubt, there was no suffix. From the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the guarantee to Yaakov, you know, I'm going to go down to Mitzrayim with you, there was a guarantee the Jewish people are going to come out of Mitzrayim. There's a guarantee that there will be a geula. Halavai, halavai, like the Chavetz Chaim said, live during these days with a suffix shakul, 50-50. It's not 99% to 1%. It's 50-50 at the very least. But there's no doubt that there's going to be a geula and it's going to be Bekarov. So let's end with the words of the Shlach Kadosh, who's very close, very near and dear. We had the schus this summer to be in Eretz Yisrael as a family. My wife, who's a Bas Levi, is a direct descendant of the Shlach Kadosh. Her family name is Horowitz, which is the name of the Shlach Kadosh. And the Shlach writes in Parshas B'Shalach an amazing thing. Because it's never too early for us to celebrate these guarantees. If we believe that they're not just predictions, that they're actually guarantees, then we can start celebrating now. And let's have the maturity to do so. Writes the Shlach Kadosh in Parshas B'Shalach. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the Egyptians drowning in the water? And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that the angels wanted to sing Shira. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how callous could you be to celebrate the death of human beings? These were Rasha'im Gemurim, these were the most wicked people ever. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the angels, you can't, how can you celebrate? Ma'ase yodai tovim bayam, v'atem omrim Shira. We curtail our Hallel in the latter part of Pesach. As a way of commemorating that. We take drops of wine out of our becher to remind ourselves that we feel even the plight of the Egyptians who died, who suffered, even though they deserved it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu predicted that they would be punished. So why were the angels being rebuked in the Gemara Megillah that Masa Yadai Tovam Bayam Va'atem Omrim Shira? So the Shulah Kadosh writes in Parshas Beshalach, in his section Torah Or Ostes, he says, Klomar, you know what the problem was? Why are you singing Shira now? Why are you waiting till it's all over to recognize that this is all good? Why are you waiting till it's all over to realize that this is also called the Seder? Why do I need to go to the Olam HaEmes and first make the mistake of saying, Hashem, your world is so backwards, for Hashem to say, are you so silly? Olam Bara Ra'isa, you saw a beautiful world. This is not a backwards world. This is not a world that's broken. This is Basi Lagani. This is my beautiful world. This is a beautiful garden. Like the Lubavitcher Rebbe spoke about for years and years and years. The Shulah HaKadosh says, Klomar, La'achar Shetavu Bayam Amartem Shira. What, after it's over, then you're going to say, I was the first one to predict. I can prove it to you. Look at my Twitter account. Look at the Facebook post that I, or that Shira that I uploaded, or that, you know, that Insta post that I posted. I was the first one to predict that Mashiach is coming from coronavirus. Forget predictions. Let's talk about guarantees. Let's talk about the guarantees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised us through the Torah, through the Nevi'im, through the Ksuvim. And let's celebrate them now. La'achar shetavu b'yam amartim shira. What, you're going to jump on the bandwagon when it's all over and say, oh yeah, I also thought Mashiach might come. Forget the might come. Let's celebrate now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. Let's celebrate now. Let's have the vision of the Chos of Lublin like we started with, who said, Lefam lehefech. Have the maturity to realize that sometimes the Seder is the Seder that Hashem wants, not the Seder that you anticipated, the way you wanted it to be. When it's all over, now you're singing Shira, Hashem says it's too late. You missed the boat. Hayelachem lahaktim uleshorer kodem hatviya, miyad la'achar avtacha. When Hashem told you, when Hashem guaranteed Yaakov that I'm going to go down to Mitzrayim with you, and I'm going to come out of Mitzrayim with you, you should have been able to smile even as the Eagle's whipping you in Mitzrayim. Is this all going to end? And am I personally going to survive? To have the eyes of Bronya, the Rebbetzin, the Blizhev Rebbe, to say, what do you mean? These kids are the future of Klal Yisrael. We're not going to die in Bergen-Belsen. Jews are going to go on. Or to be able to pull out that piece of Chovas HaLevavos from your inmate pajamas and to be able to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever is going to be Afal Pichin, Klal Yisrael are going to continue to believe. Lioschem b'gibure koach, to be people of tremendous spiritual strength, va'amitz lev ba'amuna, to continue to believe. Don't wait till it's over to start to celebrate. So my friends, let's embrace this awesome guarantee. This awesome guarantee. It's not my guarantee. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guarantee. The guarantee that our faith, yes, collectively our faith will survive. Yes, the guarantee that Mashiach will come. Halavai, halavai, any day now, any second now. But there's a guarantee that it will come. The guarantee of the Jewish people, the eternity of the Jewish people. Because Kodesh Baruch Hu, Oraisa, and Yisrael are Chadhu. That it's all one, and just like God is eternal, the Torah is eternal, the Jewish people are eternal. And let's have that maturity to adjust our Seder to a Kodesh Baruch Hu Seder. To not look at this world and say, wow, this is the most backward Seder I ever had in my life. Olam Hafach Reisi. But no, to celebrate the Olam Barer, the beautiful and precise world that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has placed us in for this Yontif. So I want to wish everyone a Chag Kasher v'Sameach, emphasis on Sameach, also of course emphasis on Kasher, but everyone should have an amazing Yontif, you should enjoy, you should celebrate, and Amir Tzashem, we should see all of these Havtachos come true. Good Yontif, good Yontif.